We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your speaking so far. We give this meeting to you. Continue to speak and to write into our hearts. We open our heart to you, and we want to consecrate ourselves fully for the church, your purpose. I hope nobody would still think that we should have studied something else and not the book of Ephesians during this conference. I enjoyed the conference very much, and I'm sure the Lord has chosen exactly the right book. We would like to continue this evening, but let me sum up a little bit. Probably some of you still remember what we were in during the past December conference. We were in the Ephesians chapter 2. And we did see something very wonderful there. We saw what was our background when we were walking in the lust of the flesh and in the will of our mind, being children of wrath, but the Lord saved us, although we were dead in sins. Because of his great love, he made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 2, and we are seated together with him in the heavenly places. It's just wonderful what we have seen. And during this conference, we've seen again the vision of the church, planned by God from eternity past, the mystery that is being revealed to us now and which was not revealed in former generations. I would like to go back to Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What a great plan God has. We have heard this morning that the Lord is the reality and the truth. We heard that we must take a decision. Verse 17, somebody said, is very strong. Nobody would dare to put it in such terms that you're no longer allowed to do this. In other translations, it says, I ask of you that you no longer walk as the nations do, which is also a very strong wording. After what we've seen in December and so far, we need to take a decision. The Lord has not just shown us a vision and that we go back home and continue as we did before. Of course, we can do that. That would be a pity, but it's much better to listen, to take Paul's word when he tells us that we should no longer walk as the nations in the vanity of their mind. Those of you who have not yet taken a decision, I encourage you to take a decision for the Lord and for the church. I also would like to come back to the evil servant in the parable about the talents, the one who dug his talent in the earth. He buried it in the earth. What does this mean? How can he do this? What the Lord has put into us, how can we bury it in the earth? We have heard a lot how we can multiply the talents. That's what we should do. But in this case, a servant has buried his talent in the earth. Matthew 25, 18, the one who has received one went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. An unbeliever couldn't do it. He didn't have his Lord's money. Only a Christian can do this. And now I'm going to read John 3:31. John chapter 3:31. He who comes from above is above all, and he of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. Now, we can dig our talent into the earth if we speak as everyone does. He who comes, he is earthly, you cannot hide it. You would think and speak as this the people of this world, in this world, do, and nothing of what the Lord has put into you is being expressed. And that is a way to dig your talent in the earth. In Matthew 25, it refers to his Lord's silver, his redemption, that refers to redemption. Everything the Lord has given us will be of no effect. And the Lord calls this one a bad and evil servant. And now I go back to Ephesians 4. 17, and now you understand why Paul says that we should no longer walk as the rest of the nations walk. The Lord has shown and given us so much. How can we just continue as before and dig our talent in the earth? That would be evil. Don't think Paul is too religious if he says, you should no longer walk. If I do it by myself, it is just religious. Yes and no. It is true that we have a responsibility. You cannot just say, I don't feel like it, and the Lord has to do something, and I just watch a few movies, series, and nothing will change. We have some responsibility, and still it's not from our own strife. But Paul is right when he says we should no longer walk as the rest of the nations in the vanity of their mind. It starts right there. Psalm 94 says the Lord knows people's thoughts, that they are vanity. And that's right there that transformation starts in our thoughts. If we are still walking in the lusts of the flesh, doing the will of the desires and of the mind, nothing will be expressed of what the Lord has shown and given us. So transformation has to begin in our mind. Paul has written many verses about having to be transformed in our mind. If you think, oh, I don't feel like it, I have to wait until the Lord works and grabs me and I do something else in the meantime, that is not a renewed mind. Colossians chapter 3:1-3, if then you were raised with Christ, does this apply to us? Can you show me prove it by a verse, clearly prove this. It's in Ephesians 2. We were raised together and seated in the heavenly places together with Jesus Christ. So these verses in Colossians 3 apply to us because we were raised with Christ. Now seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above. We can influence our thinking. It makes a difference, as you've heard, how I organize my life. Do I ask the Lord what I should study, where to move, whom to marry? So many decisions which may have an influence also in small decisions. In the past weeks, I went through a difficult situation at my work. And I was so much thinking about my boss and was also upset. And then a brother shared that we should also pray for our colleagues. And then I started to pray and I realized a boss also has a boss, and my Lord is the boss of bosses. So it makes a difference when we set our mind on the things which are above. And I also would like to quote Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world or to this age. This age, this world wants to fill our mind. And this also transforms you. It has an impact. As we've seen in Ephesians, these people, they become estranged to God's life and they are darkened in their hearts. That is the impact of this age. If you fill yourself with that, the younger people, they know Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can fill yourself with that, and of course, there will be an outcome. It's not prohibited, but if you do it, use it with the Lord and pay attention. In 1 Timothy 4, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine with which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. There are so many fables circulating nowadays, and people are filled with many fables. It's not just Harry Potter that's a fable, but also in policy, we hear so many fables. They speak things which are just not true. There's nothing behind. So do not fill yourselves with it. If you get involved with this age, it will influence your thinking and finally your walk. And Paul, he repeats the same to Timothy in his second epistle, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But the truth remains the truth, even though if I follow fables. So Paul gave a good advice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. We have such a wonderful food. We can nourish ourselves with the word, and that also will have an impact. It will transform you in a good way. It will renew your mind and make you able to prove what is God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Our mind is indeed very important. The Lord has to gain it and transform it, and that will result in a corresponding walk. I get back to Ephesians. I hope I do not jump back and forth too much, but I do not want just to tell you anything. Or everything has to be founded on the word. It's much better for us to dive into the word. You can listen to messages when you are going to your work on the train. Everybody has his earphones, but you can also listen to a message, and also the Bible. There is an audio book, Bible, audio Bible. You can listen to it or also read it. There are so many possibilities for us now to fill ourselves with the word, or to read a spiritual book can be helpful also. And then I am going to read Philippians 4:8. Brethren, was gerecht, was rein, was liebenswert ist, wovon man Gutes spricht. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, or whatever things are pure, report it. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This will have a good impact on your life. Ephesians 4:20 says, you have not so learned Christ. And that is the verse from where I picked the title, Learning Christ. But it's not like in school, learning like in school. We have heard that before. You could also put it in differently and say, learning to live with Christ. Christ is the truth, the reality is the new man whom we put on in order to come into the reality. It's not just like learning, studying as we do in school. The Lord is not like the world. So let us come to him and learn from him. It's not by trying hard, although I've just said we have some responsibility, but it's not gritting my teeth and trying to behave well. No, it is rather learning Christ. The Lord is our best teacher. He is for us, and his grace supports us. Paul said the same. He did not labor alone, but the grace together with him. We have such a teacher, such a master and Lord, who wants to take us to the goal. He wants that we grow. And everything I'm saying is within the framework that the Lord wants to build his church. It's not about any self-improvement, but about growing together into the head. So that the Lord's bride, the church, can be built up and something can be manifested before the powers and principality. The Lord has prepared all the situation. He knows the goal and he has prepared everything to help us reach the goal. And he wants us to reach the goal. There are sometimes some teachers or trainers who find pleasure in making a person fail. The Lord is not such a one. He wants us to reach the goal. So let us look at the example of the two diligent servants in Matthew. The two in Matthew 25, 16, the two diligent, they went, it says, they went, and the bad servant, he left, he went away. So let us go forward, let's go to the meeting. The Lord so often speaks through the brothers and sisters. Learn also to listen to what the Lord speaks through brothers and sisters. But so go there. Don't think, well, I've been offended, I don't go. I was too so nice, but the others were not nice. Very often we are mistaken in our own appreciation. And even though if we might be right, it's still no reason to go away. And we have also heard about the wise man who built his house on the rock. We have heard it recently in Stuttgart, and I kept thinking about it. It's in Luke 6. A man, he was like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. But it's whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them. I often do it the other way around. I do something, then the Lord knocks or warns me, and then I come to him. That's not the right order. Come to the Lord first. And everything we have heard about the vision and the reality, we want to get into the reality and we need some practice, some exercise, and those who practice make mistakes, but we can always turn, the Lord forgives us, and we can continue. Even if we do something the wrong way, acting first, and then the Lord knocks on our door, and then we turn, and it's only then that we turn. But it's better just to come to the Lord first, to listen to him, and then to go and do. In everything we hear about how the church has to be built up, we have to learn from the Lord. The Lord is the lowliness. It's not about a behavior, but going to the Lord, learning from him, putting on the Lord himself. That's in Matthew 11, 28, come to me. 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For all situations in the church life, in your professional life, we can always come to the Lord with our burdens, put it on Him, and we can learn from Him. I experienced He gave me rest. When I put everything on Him about this problem at my work, I don't have any solution. You do know the right solution. I don't know it. And then I experienced rest. Before I was burdened, I had to think about it. Like, if I say this, he would answer this. If I do behave like this, he would probably react that way. That is why I was caught in such a thinking. Forget about all this. Just put it on the Lord. Give it to Him and learn from Him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is our healer. Come to the Lord. He can heal you. Come to the Lord and learn from Him. Speak to Him. Go to Him. Don't go away, but go to the Lord. Go to the meeting. Go to the brothers and sisters. Go to have fellowship. Go to the prayer meeting. Be wise. And I would also like to read a verse from Psalm 62, verse 9.
Vertraut ihm alle Zeit, Leute. Schüttet euer Herz vor ihm aus. Gott ist unsere Zuflucht.
Psalm 32. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Put your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. The point is to go to Him, not to go away, to do something in the world like looking a video and reading a novel. It's our responsibility to go to the Lord, to not to say, I am unable, I can't do it. That's not enough. If you notice you can't do it, so go to see your healer, the light and your salvation. Put Him on. Solve the situation with Him. Don't try to solve the situation yourself. But assume your responsibility when we should no longer walk as the nations. Go to the Lord. It's a continuous, a daily exercise and a growing exercise, putting off or putting on. Ephesians 4:21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, going to Him and hearing Him, the Lord is the truth and the reality, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We have put off the old man. Faith is putting into practice what we don't see. Sometimes I really don't see that I've put on the new man and put off the old man. Paul says in Colossians 3 that we should not lie to one another. we have put off the old man and put on the new man. How can that be possible? I've put on the new man. So why does Paul say don't lie to one another? But it happens that we fall back into the old man in our daily life. But we can turn. We have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Exercise unto godliness is useful for everything. As Paul writes also to Timothy, physical exercise is not useful for much, although it's good to practice a little bit sport, but never forget that exercise unto godliness is useful for everything and has a promise for this and for the life to come. So let's be diligent. We should be diligent, as it says in Ephesians 4:3. We should endeavor diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit. And also Peter says we should be diligent.
Und in der Erkenntnis Selbstbeherrschung und in der Selbstbeherrschung Ausdauer und in der Ausdauer göttlichen Ausdruck und im göttlichen Ausdruck Bruderliebe und in der Bruderliebe.
For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. And he continues adding up one word virtue after the next. But we have to give diligence. And also in verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Let us tune our mind on this. Fill yourself with this. Go to the Lord. Be diligent to read the word. Be diligent in spiritual things. Very often we are so diligent in practicing physical exercises, which are useful for just a little, have a little effect, although we have the opportunity to exercise in godliness, which is useful for everything. And as we've heard last night, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by waves. We should not be so many children, but one grown man. That is why we set our mind, because we want to grow. We want the body to grow. The Lord has offered him up for this. He has given us so much for his body, not that we should dig these treasures in the earth. Don't dig it in the earth. What about your speaking? That is a question I ask myself often in the past time. When we meet brothers and sisters, we fellowship. But sometimes I had to tell myself, well, there was still so much of the earth mixed into it. A good practice is to pray always. When you meet brothers and sisters, take a few minutes to pray first. The most important thing comes first. And that is good for building up and for growth, to grow into one man, one grown man. It is important to take the decision today. Don't wait. The Lord has prepared everything and he will come soon. We don't have time to lose. I was thinking about Esau. He made light of the reward and he sold his right of the firstborn because he was hungry. what he has seen to feed his body seemed more important to him than the inheritance he could have gained. Hebrews 12.
Denn er fand keinen Raum zur Buße, obwohl er sie mit Tränen suchte.
Ja, das ist dieses verhärtete that we should not be a fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright.
Er hätte gerne das Erbe gehabt, aber
And you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. But I would like to finish with an encouraging example, which is in Hebrews 11:24-26. Remember Moses, who was raised in Pharaoh's palace. He was called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know the situation too well, but I think he was a prince. And I think many people had a poor life and had to work, and the Israelites were slaves, whereas Moses was a prince living in a palace. But what did Moses do?
Durch Glauben weigerte sich Mose, als er groß geworden war, ein Sohn der Tochter des Pharao zu heißen. Er wollte lieber mit dem Volk Gottes misshandelt werden,
Moses,
Genuss der Sünde haben, und achtete die Schmach Christi für größeren Reichtum als die Schätze Ägyptens, denn er sah weg auf die Belohnung. Amen.
Moses, he considered
Glauben wegschauen. Es gibt für diese Mühe eine Belohnung.
Looking away to the reward, he did not want to be called a son of the daughter of Pharaoh, but he preferred to suffer with the people of God. Don't forget that there will be a reward for the faithful ones. There are so many interesting things that can fill our thoughts. I think nobody among us is a prince. And, well, you don't have to labor in the field at 30 degrees. So the decision we have to take is not so dramatic as in Moses' case, but also he looked away to the reward, not to what the things that could be seen. So let us continue in this exercise, putting off the new man, coming to the Lord, learning from him, and coming into the reality.